Yeah, time set for our October 1st meeting of the governance committee. It was noticed and posted as per law. It's being held at the Arizona Historical Society Heritage Center in Tempe. I would like for everybody to identify themselves, starting out, John, you want to identify yourself first?
John Lacey, joining telephonically from Tucson.
Bruce?
Bruce Quinn, from Yuma.
Linda Whitaker?
Linda Whitaker, joining you telephonically from Bainbridge Island.
Okay, and Mark McNella?
Mark McNella, also present telephonically.
Is there anybody else that's on the committee that's present that's not shown here? Okay, we also have a call to the public, and Tom Rose is here. Tom has a suggestion at the end of the meeting relative to an amendment of the policy and some discussion about it, and I'll keep Tom on track for that. Is that all right with you, Tom?
Yes.
Fine. Okay, we have a call to the public. Is there anybody else that's available? Okay, let's start out by, there's a request on here to approve the minutes of the last meeting, although between that time and this time, we have presented the minutes to the board of directors at the state meeting. I don't know that it's necessary to go back and approve it, but do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the last meeting?
So moved.
Second.
Any opposed? The minutes must meet with your approval. We have a recommendation to amend the policy, how a policy is proposed and presented to the AHS Board of Directors. Mr. Corsetti submitted a proposed policy, and it was amended by John, and there were some draft details that he inserted. Have you all had a copy of it?
Yes.
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 Does anybody have it? Mark, did you have a copy of it?
Yes.
Does anybody have anything about that, those proposals that they disagree with?
Okay. No.
I move we accept as presented.
Second?
Second.
Is there any opposition to it? Then the proposed policy amendment will be presented at the next board meeting in Wickenburg, I think it is.
Yeah, and Bill, it has to be also sent out to the full board 10 days ahead of that board meeting.
We'll make sure it gets done, John. Thank you. We also have on our agenda a discussion, the recommendations, and a presentation by Len Marsis, who is not going to be here today. And Linda is going to take over that. Linda, you want to proceed?
Yes, I am hoping and was told that you have received a document related to an update regarding the Sunset Review. It is a summary, and the relevant updates are highlighted in red. I don't feel the need to go through everything point by point here, but has everybody read that? And do we have any reactions to it?
This is
Sunset. This is the Sunset summary.
Any reaction to it by any of the board members?
None here.
Any feedback?
Now, we're not talking about the accreditation portion of it.
We are not. We are talking just about the Sunset documents here, noting where we've met the requirements and where we are on that.
Is there anybody that has any objection to it at all? Linda, I think it's well done, and I have no problem with it myself. You want to move on to the accreditation thing?
That is fine. So this is a topic that came up at the last board meeting in Flagstaff, and what the result of that was a proposal that the governance committee would support some equal tracking-like mechanism to the accreditation status, very similar to what we have for Sunset. And we feel that that's important because this is a committee that, you know, put Sunset just on the agenda. And because of at least 80% of reaccreditation crosses with the Sunset, rather than do everything twice, there are some things that we can track simultaneously. We haven't created that tracking document, but we want some kind of feedback about what this education committee or an extension of the Sunset committee, what we'd like to do and how we would go about it. On October 11th, we expect to have some initial draft of what this education kit could look like. We don't have that currently now, but we would definitely share it with everyone. The education kit, if you will, also covers Sunset. And this is partly in response to a conversation I had with two of the local board members up in Flagstaff. One was the president and the other one was Pat Levin. And both of them had stated they weren't, they didn't either quite understand or know the status of the Sunset review process and where we were derelict, et cetera. They were very interested in getting more information about the reaccreditation process because this would be the first time that all four locations would be put forward for accreditation. We've never done it before, but that doesn't mean we can't do it again. And so the intent of the education kit is to introduce people to the process itself, and it is not an indoctrination document. It will require visits at least once to every location, perhaps as part of their local meetings, and there would be a pairing of like a local coordinator with regional representatives. So, for instance, in Yuma, Yana Cruz and Bruce Gwynn are on Len's list as being a part of the group that would help present the information. For Flagstaff, it would be Bill Peterson and Meredith Peabody. For Tempe, it would be Ton and Kelly Crissett. In Tucson, it would be Bill Ponder and Jeff Horowitz. These are proposed team members. Len is out of town. He won't return until about October 7th, but he plans, with permission from the governance committee, to contact these individuals so that they will help in the education process, because it very likely will take maybe more than one meeting. It may generate all kinds of questions, but we need somebody more than Len Marsis and Linda Whitaker. So that is how we see things going forward. And like I said, I don't have a kit. I don't have anything to show you. Like I said, this was sort of in response to feedback we got from at least two local board members and Flagstaff.
Okay, so, well, let me ask you a question. You have a kit.
We don't have one yet. It's being developed.
You're going to prepare and develop a kit.
That is correct.
To educate. Who is that to educate?
In terms of providing information to local boards in terms of the Sunset review and in terms of the AAM reaccreditation. It's informational not indoctrinational. And like I said, it's in response to two people from Flagstaff who wanted more information.
Okay, in response to that, to Lynn's proposal relative to a kit, was my understanding that you were going to educate others other than our chapter boards. Is that correct?
That is correct. It also is intended to support organizations. For instance, Historical League and other 501c3s that support the group. That's exactly the intent. That's correct.
Okay, what are you going to educate them about? How successful we have been with our support groups?
No, we are going to talk to them about what it means to be accredited, what the surveyors look for, how this is similar, there's some differences, but how this is similar to Sunset Review, et cetera.
Okay, you were privy to a series of emails that went back and forth between Lynn and myself, and I think I included you in that process because you were part of the work group about how I felt about educating support groups with whom we now have a very poor relationship. Am I correct?
Yes, I am privy to that exchange.
Okay, and did you feel there was no merit in what I was saying?
Well, you questioned two things, I think, if memory serves. One was the what did we want to accomplish here? Were we trying to somehow using this opportunity to persuade those who are not very happy with us to give us a glowing report? That is absolutely not a part, not the case at all. And the other thing is somehow questioning even the need to pass along the facts, what it consists of, what it doesn't consist of, what it covers, what it doesn't cover. That's primarily it. It's factual. It's an introduction to the process in response to people who say they're not familiar with it. They want to know more.
Okay, I think one of the emails that Lynn sent me, and probably sent to everybody else, was that to avoid adverse positions taken by support groups. Am I correct?
Yes, I believe that your concern was that somehow we would persuade them not to say anything negative about or to raise issues, I think the response was, well, we're not here to censor. We are here to answer questions where we can, but we can't and won't censor anybody.
Any questions from anybody else?
Is there some doubt about what we intend to do and what prompted this and our response for more information that is not hearsay but just simply the facts?
Well, Linda, one of the things that concerned me was that Lynn referred to, well, if this is the same process that's used by American Express. And I hate to comment on this without Lynn being present because he made a good argument, to tell you the truth. But I think that there is a real difference between the volunteer groups that support us and seeking to the accreditation by American Express. Those people
yes.
are paid employees.
Yes. They're not, you're exactly right. They are not the same. But I think what I read into the exchange is that you had some serious doubts about our intentions and what our purpose was. Et cetera. And I'm going to vigorously say that our intention is to educate and to respond to questions. It is not to indoctrinate. And
you're
so
you're looking for answers that are positive to AHS and AHS staff and the board of directors, right?
No, we're not looking for answers. We are giving out information about the process. We hope that there's a lot of questions that come up or concerns that we can take back to this group or others. But we are not there to encourage or solicit positive comments when that just simply is not part of what we're doing. We want to educate people about the process, and hopefully people will be excited for the first time having Flag and Yuma and Tempe put up there for accreditation. We see this as a great leveling field. The power of having all four locations accredited, we don't accredit the 401c3s in terms of their, they need information, but there's no accreditation for the local support groups. But the bottom line is, the more people who know what we're doing, why we're doing it, why accreditation is in fact important, not the least of which, incidentally, it greatly increases our chance of getting grants. Having an AAM stamp of approval is like the Good Housekeeping seal of approval. And
I agree with you that accreditation is really important, and we need it. But I also think that these support groups that we have, these volunteers that work for us, should not be coerced or put into a situation where they have to positively reflect upon our administration.
What?
I'm not talking just about staff or the board or anything else. I think that these support groups who we're going to look to for almost all of our support sometime in the future, need to be put on a level that where they can give answers that are positive to the future support of us.
Bill, do you want to monitor this? Maybe you should tag along and monitor this to make sure that these things are delivered in a reciprocal in positive sort of a way. I mean, we don't need to be second guessed here. We need the support to go out and get the word out. But we're not coaching. Who knows? There may be some sort of, initiative that may follow depending on the degree of concern. Or for all I know, maybe local boards want to bow out of it. I don't know. I don't know the level of interest. I don't know the level of commitment.
But your committee, and I have absolutely no problem with anything that you and Lynn do. You are apart from administration. But I'm concerned that one of your people who's putting together these questions is a part of the administration. And I think that
this is going to be, an informational kit. And although staff has been tasked to create one, it has to pass muster. It has to pass muster from us. It has to pass muster from you. No one's going off willy-nilly here creating some kind of document that we don't have control of. This is a board initiative, and surveyors tend to look very favorably on an attempt to reach out to local boards, support groups, in terms of the process itself. They like to involve local boards and volunteers, et cetera. So we be able to say we created this informational kit, we've made X amount of visits, it generated a report as a result of that, all that is a positive thing. We're not going off rogue. We are absolutely tied to this committee and reporting to it, but we really don't know, apart from some verbal assent by the board in Flag, I have no idea the level of interest. by the local boards or support groups. I have no idea.
Lynn's argument in response to my emails to Lynn was very positive. I thought it was a great argument. I think you made a great argument. And I hate to put you in a position of answering for Lynn, but would you have any objection to the series of emails that went back and forth being submitted to the rest of the board?
Heavens, no.
To the rest of this governance committee?
No. I think they ought to know what your concerns are and what our intent is.
Okay. Does anybody have any comment on this?
No, I really not sure I understand the basis of the discussion. Although, you know, I strongly believe that we need to communicate as clearly as we can with the support organizations, and if there are any issues out there, that we need to be able to address it. And to address it in such a way is that they're comfortable with what we're telling them. Obviously, if there are, you know, major concerns out there, and we have heard some of them, and I think a lot of them, may relate to just a change in administration, we need to be able to address those and make sure that they're proper passed on to staff and treated in a responsible way.
I absolutely agree. And part of this is an organized way of collecting the information.
I agree. Bruce, anything you'd like to add?
Well, when it was presented as accrediting everyone, I think it's a great idea, and it seems like this kit will help bring everybody around on the same, not necessarily around, but gives everybody an opportunity to look at it and comment on it too. So I think it's a good plan.
Mark?
I would concur with the remarks just made.
Okay. I will forward to you a copy of I want Lynn's permission to do this because he was the author of one position and, I don't want to send it out without his permission. I will wait till he gets back, or I will email him and try to get you a copy of it. I think it's a matter that needs to be discussed by the board. I think discreditation is very important. But I also think that our support groups are very important, and their feelings and how they think we ought to proceed is just as important.
And how would this somehow subvert that, Bill?
Well, I was looking at Lynn's emails to me, and what looks like to me the kit is formatted so as to seek positive opinions from our support groups. I think they will be, they will feel that they have to say the right thing at the right time and answer the questions in a way that positive.
You see, I didn't even envision it as a question and answer sort of thing at all. Here's the process. Here are the people here's how long they spend. Here's what they look at. Here are the trends in terms of what they weigh more heavily. The whole mechanics of it. It is to just demystify the process. I don't see this as a place to grill people and expect them to respond. I haven't even seen anything like that. So, if that is the case, I think that just doesn't do the educational part. We're not there to solicit positive comments. Actually, that is done by the surveying team.
But you're in a position to make sure that the comments are positive. Am I correct?
No. This is not censorship. And I have to tell you, Bill, it isn't. You can laugh, but I chafe at that because this is a good faith attempt to disperse information. However, I think your point is well taken. If you see this as somehow a test, some sort of a litmus test, then we'll fail it. That's not what we're after. This is not what we're after.
Let me get with Lynn and get permission to send out his position and the position I took relative to these kits. And if possible, I'll send out the email, the string of emails to everybody on the committee. And let everybody make up their own mind how they think we ought to proceed.
Yeah, let me jump in here for a second too. You know, I think that it's our job here to make sure that we present an accurate and straightforward picture, and that we educate our support groups in such a way as they have all the appropriate information, and that if anything, we want to solicit from our support organizations any concerns that they have and make sure that we have answered those appropriately, so that the going through the process doesn't wind up being some form of a bitch session. And I think that's really what we're trying to ferret out on the front end of any of these evaluations. And I think that's really what the board should be doing anyway, in terms of soliciting the concerns from the support organizations. And principally, I think that what we're talking about in the support organizations are the various chapter boards. And we've heard some of the concerns, and I think that we just need to make sure that the executive staff is addressing them appropriately in such a way that we don't have a bunch of members of the support organization chafing at some of their concerns.
Well, John, my only concern is that if staff is to be a part of the group that sends out the kits, of course, staff wants positive input from our support groups. And I'm not sure that any of our support groups right now, maybe I'm wrong about Yuma, I have no idea, are completely happy with the process. I hear from our local support group that they're not real happy with some of the things that, and you heard it too at the last meeting.
I think that what we need to do is to say, okay, you know, we understand what those concerns are and what is being done to address those concerns. And I think that, you know, if the support groups, you know, are saying that, well, you know, we don't have a museum director or a collection director at the Tucson Museum, and then we just need to make sure that the executive director is in the position of answering that question in a way that is hopefully going to satisfy some of the folks at the Southern Arizona chapter.
I have a question for you, Bill.
Yes.
Would you feel, I don't know, more reassured that the people responsible for making the presentation, this is board of initiative, okay, that presentation is actually done not by a staff member,
yes,
but by a board member?
Absolutely.
That would make
you a lot more comfortable.
Okay, I'm under the impression that that is how it's supposed to go.
Okay, I'd like
that
to
this is a board initiative, not a staff initiative, but a board initiative.
That would make me comfortable, and any member of this committee being present would make me comfortable, or any other member of the board when those presentations are made. Yeah, I see staff as getting involved in this, and taking away the free will of the support groups. Not taking it away, but kind of subverting it. I don't know what you call it.
Well, I don't see board members interested in doing that. And I don't think, that's not part of our role, but this is a board initiative. And my vision is that the board members who partnered with the local group, that it's being led by that person.
I can tell you this. I think that you and Lynn are do an excellent job, and you'd make an excellent presentation, as would Bruce to his board, and I'm sure John to the Tucson board down there. But I just don't know that staff ought to be involved in any presentation.
Okay. I think that that's a fair point. They're the ones most knowledgeable about the processes and so forth, and the materials that will be handed out. They'll have certainly a hand in organizing it and getting it together. But I don't think that's unreasonable, Bill. And we'll make sure Lynn is aware of the preferences. And do I care how many board members come along and so forth? I don't. I think the more people that it has to be led by somebody, should be a board member. But and how many people want to monitor it? Just fine.
That's fine.
Do it.
I think this has been a good discussion. But I can see where accreditation is very, very important to us, and it's time to start working on it. That's how I would envision it. All right. Does anybody have anything further on this issue? I don't hear much.
When is this supposed to take place?
It will take place, I think, in the months following our October meeting. We're going to have at least the materials to take a look at, and then it requires scheduling with the four locations. Maybe it's done in conjunction with the local support groups, and I don't know, Bill. Maybe you have some feelings. Should all the local support groups be included, asked to attend, let's just say, the local board meeting, and we use up the time that way? Should they be separate visits? What?
I think that the local support groups are going to be the most, I think because of their importance to AHS, the local support groups ought to be included in this in a pretty,
at the front end.
It's a pretty significant matter. Down the road, we're going to be looking at these people for money. And right now, I don't think they're working as hard as they could be working, to tell you the truth, to raise money for us. I think we're talking about all the support groups, including Friends. And I think that if we could have a more positive relationship with them, it would certainly be to the benefit of AHS.
No disagreement there. And if this is the vehicle that best addresses that, so be it.
But I think that the meetings with the local chapters, I'll be specific on that, I think that we should meet with them individually without lumping a number of them together. So in other words, I think there should be meetings specifically with Northern, with Yuma, and with Tucson, just because I think that that gives us a much better chance to address specific concerns at that chapter. And I think that, you know, the feeling in Tucson really has been that the reorganization that they've gone through has frustrated their attempts at fundraising. At least insofar as Wes Rhodes' departure, Tucson folks felt that was done in such a way as to totally undercut their existing fundraising activities.
I agree. I'm sure that Tom and I could probably talk a lot about our NAFS group. I think they've had they work hard to support our organization, and I think they have some valid, legitimate concerns, and I think that maybe the kit might tone them down a little bit, but I think that they're going to express what they feel about the existing circumstances. It's not.
Yeah.
John, can I ask a question? I just want to make sure I understand. You see in terms of priorities, okay, that we go to four locations, talk to the local boards first, then schedule support groups in those areas to follow?
No, I'm not sure I understand. I think that the meetings that we have with the support organizations, and I'm looking primarily at the chapter boards, I think that those should be done early in the process.
Okay.
How soon that takes place, is up to a schedule that we need to develop. But, I think we need to do that fairly early just mm-hmm. to make sure that we can address their concerns in such a way, and if they have existing concerns, that we're in the position to at least be in a position of starting to address them. And I really hope that with most of their concerns that they've expressed thus far is that we've already addressed some or all of them.
One of the things we talked about, and Bruce, I'm interested in your opinion, we thought we'd start out with Yuma, just because we're getting into some winter months here, and we know that getting back and forth the flag may be an issue, but any thoughts about starting out with Yuma?
Yuma's fine. Yuma's fine. I have no
okay.
problem.
Okay.
And the weather's really getting good, kind of.
Okay.
Listen, everybody stays away from flag in the winter. I know it's that.
But we agree, Bill, or whoever, John, we want to start, we want to come out of the chute, quickly. And we'd like to get at least one or two visits done before the end of the year.
Well, I think we ought to get it going. I agree.
Okay.
Is there anything further on this? All right. Well, the next issue comes up by way of the policy we're seeking to amend about presentation of policy amendments and bylaw amendments by anybody. In this particular case, it's Tom Rose. And Tom has a problem with the 1107 funds and how they're distributed. And I'll have to say I agree with him. It's our policy is pretty nebulous about the distribution of them. Tom, you want to speak to it?
The only thing that I have to report is actually was part of a conference call in earlier September trying to find out what the staff really needs to find in funding the membership portion of administration. I haven't gotten any hard data or a request on that as yet, but the issue would have to go back in and match up existing policy that we have voted on at the end of May this year with the bylaws and get the language of the two to coordinate. From that point, the issue is that policy as of May is that the 1107 or membership funds, $40 of which goes to, or the first $40 out of any of those membership levels goes to funding membership, administration, and the Journal of Arizona History. The questioning was that is $40 enough? There had been some usage or indication that in previous years it was $65, which was listed as a basic membership, but which doesn't match the verbiage in the policy manual or in the bylaws. But starting from this year, it is set at $40. The only thing that's going to come up next is what staff is going to be recommending or requesting as a minimum amount to fund the membership functions of AHS administration. And until that comes up and is provided, it will be very difficult to decide what really needs to happen there. There is a need basically for membership, and the membership funds to fund improving membership, but characteristically that has not happened. The membership position at state did nothing but track, and that may be an administrative issue rather than a membership issue that should be funded out of administration. So,
now, Tom, am I correct? Presently, Part 4, Policy Number 9 says that $40 goes to the Journal and AHS, right, for their purposes.
Yes.
The over and above that is to be deposited in appropriate accounts. Do you get an accounting of that?
I get it when I ask for it. I haven't seen it lately. The issue there is that without knowing what your entire membership funding level or your membership dues level is, you can't coordinate it with any accounting, because all you'll get is 1107 funds for Northern Arizona is $3,982. How did that compute? The only way I can do that is to request a membership report, which I should have, according to the bylaws, quarterly, but I can request them at a more often time frame. Then I have to go through and look at each level membership and say, okay, I have 82 members at household, and that's $65, and then I compute that. However many stewards or business members or individuals or students, whatever those levels are, once you get that total amount, basically you can say that I have 139 or 140 members. That means 140 times $40 comes off of whatever that total amount is. The rest should be deposited into an account that says membership funds for Northern Chapter.
Okay. If I understand it correctly, the 1107 funds over and above $40 as to each member in that chapter area.
Yeah, everything
goes into a special account, and then it goes to the division director to be expended. We don't have division directors anymore, so
there is no division director there. That position has a
director, and he can expend that money at the request at the permit with the permission of the board. Is that correct? Of the chapter board.
Well, the chapter board can request is in charge of that particular fund.
Okay.
The chapter board basically has the control over the expenditures. The bylaws say with approval of a division director. Right now, we do not have a division director.
I understand that. What about business memberships?
Business memberships, from what I can gather on the wording, it says the first $40 of all membership.
Okay, so we're talking about the first $40 goes to the journal. The rest of it goes to the individual chapters to be spent by the division, by the director of that chapter, whatever it is.
Right.
And
in my understanding, any membership is covered by that. So if we have a business membership at $1,000, $40 of it should be allocated to the publication of the journal and operation of members, the membership, and the rest of it, which would be $960, should come into the account for each chapter or the chapter that you're talking about.
So specifically, what are you saying should be amended?
Well, what needs to be amended in there is part of the wording in the bylaws says basic general membership. There is no definition to that. The other amendments, and there's a considerable amount of notes that I have given to Bill here yesterday, but some of the language in there, when we redid the policy, the original policy in 1999 on 1107 funds said that all other the first $40 goes to publication and membership management, and all other fund, all the funds above that go to the chapters. Then when we did the new policy, we left out the portion that says all of the remainder goes. It just says the remainder to go to. So there's a little bit of a confusion there.
Tom, would you be willing to work on your proposed amendment for this board, for this committee, by the next committee meeting, and maybe you and Richard Shaw, and I would ask Richard to do it, to get together with you, because he has good institutional knowledge about these things, work together and propose an amendment to the bylaws and to the policy?
No, I could work on that.
Okay. Do anybody have any suggestions on that? John, Bruce?
You know, I think that you know, the intent here was to that anyone providing funds in excess of the membership fee would really kind of have the option to designate whether or not excess funds would go to the chapter's 1107 funds or could go to the general fund of the society. And so I think that should also be an option. And I know that certainly that seemed, and my recollection is that seems to be an option on the forms that we've filled out historically in making the annual membership or paying the annual fees or membership dues.
I can tell you that I joined for my son who lives in Phoenix, and the money I contributed for him went to the Phoenix chapter, and I didn't like that. Sorry.
But you know, Bill, didn't you know that you can request? I had something similar happen to me, and I just simply said no. I'm buying this membership for this person who happens to live in Tucson, but I want those funds to go to Tempe. And that was done.
I've always filled out mine just to put that into the general fund.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to look at this. Bruce, do you have
something? I may weigh in. I've asked this question. I can't tell you who I asked it, but I've asked it several times. How does this work out? And I was always under the impression that the normal $50 fee, if membership, which is for a single, the whole thing went to the state, and then you had to either buy a $65 or $100 fund in order to have those 1107 funds. And then it seemed like I've never gotten a definitive answer that I could actually remember, which has a lot to do with my age, what we could do with those funds here in Yuma. But I've been joining online several years now, and I can't remember being asked that question where you wanted the money to go to. So I hope it all came back to Yuma. So
maybe we ought to look at this real close. And if I could get Tom to do it and get together with Richard, maybe we could get it. You know, and I don't know anywhere where it's all definitively set out what how much the memberships are. I know it's 50 and 65, and this is 250.
Yeah, I think, Bill, you need to take a look at the forms that are sent out to on the membership renewals.
Mm-hmm.
I think,
is that policy or is that Roy's policy?
Well, I think that the policy was set by the board.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's any secret as to what Roy was doing, because I think he was operating under instructions that he was given. So I think that we need to take a look at the membership forms that are being sent out and see if there is any, see if we can answer the questions there, and then track, see if that in fact tracks policy.
I have a question for Tom and for anyone else who wants to weigh in.
Yes.
We should be amending this in such a way that really not only can be applied uniformly across locations, but this is a perennial issue that shouldn't be puzzling. It should be very forthright. And whatever kind of narrative you come up with, Tom, ask yourself, does this then satisfy the questions, discontent, suspicions by local boards? Does it satisfy that? And if it doesn't, what would?
Yeah, that's pretty much my focus, because I was in the same boat as Bruce Gwynn. Every time I asked, I got a different answer as to the quantitative start and where and when the money could be used. After researching a considerable amount of board minutes, basically from 2008 to present, and then also for all of our bylaws and policies, I did come up with several questions, like you say, that do need to be answered and be more specific in exactly what amount of money will be drawn to general administration funds to cover membership, a membership position, what we need to look at as monies going to publications, and what and where it goes to the chapters, but also include the accounting or accountability requirements for that too, so that the chapters receiving the funds are told at specific time frames what amounts are there without having to go look for it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically get an accounting that shows how that fund number was arrived at.
Right. In other words, tabulations based
yeah.
on actual membership and blah, blah, blah. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Tom, could you come up with a proposed policy for us and have it ready for us for our next meeting in the middle of October sometime?
Yes.
Not just to weigh it again, I just went through the membership for just a $65 one, and there's no place to say I want excess money, nor does it say $40 is for administration and the journal. I have been mistakenly thinking all these years that the 65 or the 100 is the only way we could get money back to the local chapter, and I just hated asking people to join the state to become part of us in Yuma. But this $40 is pretty reasonable, I think. Unless somebody can show me it should be less, but I think it's pretty reasonable. But now that I know that, it's no.
Well, Bruce, that's the issue. There is that there was confusion in the interpretation of the minutes as to some of the languages. One of the issues was in 2009, the basic fee for a basic membership was raised from 40, actually it was in okayed in 2007, and in 2008 approved. It went from $40 as a listed as a base membership fee. And then at that time, they said that the minutes indicate that it had changed to add two additional setups or steps. One was a $50 individual, and the other was a $65 household, neither of which were identified as a basic general membership. So I believe that the administration at the time took it to mean that the 50 and 60 were basic memberships, and then interpreted bylaws which said the basic membership level is dedicated to AHS for publications, and all, everything above that goes to the chapters. But it also indicates in that same statement, according to the policy of the Board of Directors. And the policy of the Board of Directors at that time still said $40 was the baseline.
Tom, that's a long time ago. Why don't you run another policy by us, okay?
We have a policy that says $40.
Okay, the history at this point, since we have a new policy, let's put it in writing and get it squared away.
Yeah, and we have a board policy that says $40. That's approved in May of this year.
That's good. Let's put it right so we understand
new,
it.
New bylaws.
Okay. That and a clear definition of where those funds may be spent.
Yeah.
And the definition of where they can be spent, it says that the local chapter board can spend according to the state law, regulations according to state law. State law says that that they're recommending or they're referencing that particular issue is you have to follow the bid procedures if you're going to issue a contract for something such as recently up at Pioneer window film installation. You have to go through purchasing, state purchasing, and you have to do those particular laws. It doesn't specify anywhere that it can only be used for upgrades to the museum property. There are a few things that the law says that you can't.
Let's get it straightened out. Go ahead and give us something, okay?
Great, thank you.
Linda, Mark, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Mark, are you still there?
I am here.
Good. Jamie, you know, backing up just for a minute, Mark, I know you're familiar with accreditation, aren't you?
I learned quite a bit this afternoon.
Don't you have those responsibilities with the agency you work with?
No. We have, so the schools would be accredited by various third-party entities.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
You know something about what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything else they want to contribute to this meeting? I think John left us.
I'm good.
Well, no, actually, I'm still here, but I was just trying to close the blinds because the sun was getting in here.
Sun? We don't have that.
Unsuccessful.
Is there anything anybody else wants to add to this meeting before we adjourn it?
I move
adjourn.
Just a second here. Yep, that's the next thing on my list here. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved.
And we'll look forward to a presentation from Tom at the next meeting.
Great. Thank you, Tom.
Tom, thank you.
Thank you.
And then nothing in front of the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, folks.
Thank you all.
You bet. Nice to hear from you, folks. See you, John.
Bye.
Bruce, I'm going to turn you off.